Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. You will find this starting on page 1692 of your Pew Bibles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galilean? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" And then they go on to list every country. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We need to talk about these men that received the Holy Spirit that day. The author makes no mention of the women for some reason. You know, the first evangelists and the ones who believed the resurrection with the least doubt. No mention of them. But we do get a scene where these men have the Holy Spirit come down upon them in spectacular an amazing fashion. The tongues of fire come to rest upon these men who traveled with Jesus and ministered with him. These men, whom no one in the crowd doubted had gotten drunk by 9 a.m. Did you notice that no one in the crowd came to their defense once the accusation started? People marveled at the events. And then someone simply suggested that these men would start drinking early or still have booze from the night before in their brains. And everyone just kind of goes, "Oh yeah, maybe." If Peggy got up here and started speaking in tongues, no one would assume she had too much to drink this morning. If Tom Callahan or I did the same, someone would accuse us of having too much wine, and everyone here would look at each other, nod their heads, and go, "Yeah, makes sense." People had no problem believing these men stood before them loudly and drunkenly declaring the word of the Lord at 9 a.m. Peter gives the "it's only 9 a.m. defense, but you can just imagine the accusers saying, "Yeah, so? Not a valid defense, Peter, especially with this motley crew of outcasts and lowlifes." God gave ministry to people such as these. These people, these lowlifes who received the Holy Spirit and the other faithful lowlifes and outcasts that followed them, would create the earthly expression of the body of Christ. These outcasts, of whom no one doubted their tendency towards early morning drunkenness, would set the standard for successful church builders. They would create community and out of chaos and persecution. They would convert their persecutors and welcome outcasts. They would build this thing and lead powerful ministries. They would serve as the first class of pastors, a heck of a class of pastors to live up to. Think about what they had to overcome just to create this thing. In 2019, most of the church plants from the majority religion in the United States will fail within 18 months. These people created a new faith of welcome and universality. They built a new religion contrary to the leader worship and genetic religion of their time. They risked and experienced violence and death just to worship in this new way. These people, whom the general public believed, without cause other than their differentness, had drunkenly violated their religious festival at 9 a.m. God gave ministry to people such as these. After Peter basically says to them, "Stop spouting stupid accusations to discredit us," he pulls out Joel to explain the experience. The first half of that short prophecy promises destruction, chaos, loss, death, hunger, and the ruin of the Israelites. The prophecy of Joel starts out very, very, very painful and promises pain. But then, after promising pain and demanding a change of heart, God promises restoration and joy. God promises God's people an end to their pain, pain of their own creation, and a return to their celebrations and their comforts. By quoting this part of Joel to explain these events, Peter implies that the Jewish people currently suffer from the destruction, pain, chaos, and loss that God promised through Joel before. The beginning of the prophecy had come true again. What does destruction look like for these Jewish people? They traded relationship with God for legalism. They changed their faith from a faith of fire and passion to a faith of rigid properness and worshiping their religion more than God. They changed from a people who threatened the state and their oppressors to a people whose leadership acquiesced non-threateningly to the Roman conquerors. They chose a ministry of the proper and the safe instead of a ministry of the Spirit. They destroyed themselves like this. And Peter tells them restoration will come from people such as these 11. You need to look at the early ministers of this church to understand the people God gave ministry to. Look at the people who ministered with Jesus. A sex worker who used her perfume to bless him. A rich woman who suffered from illnesses in her mind. A Pharisee who saw truth contrary to his faith in this rebel leader. A woman cast away from multiple husbands, who also came from the wrong people, and so many other outsiders of all kinds and colors. Look at these men from this scene, uneducated fishers, a tax collector who got wealthy from unethical collecting, and a bunch of nobodies that history has nearly no record of, despite building this church. And look at the people who followed these early ministers. A young man stoned for standing up for widows and having the audacity to suggest God exists in a space larger than the temple. A black sexual minority who traveled to the temple to learn about his faith despite automatic temple rejection. A rich Pharisee who oversaw and commanded the murder of this church, only to then suffer the same fate of poverty and death after he saw the light of Jesus. God built the church, the body of Christ, on the different and the outcast. Early church leaders included the economically different, the ethnically different, the sexually different, the economically different, and the just different. The early church built itself on the outcast and the marginalized, lifting the different and the weird into positions of powerful leadership. God gave ministry to people such as these. Listen to what Joel said and Peter repeated. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. He does not say proper people, nor normal people, nor good church-going folk, nor the cleanly dressed and properly presented people. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. He does not say your studious daughters, nor your hard-laboring sons, nor your proper children, nor your children who sit well and absorb the words of the pastor, even the adults around them barely pay attention. He does not say your outgoing and social but appropriately quiet and mature children, nor your conscientious and respectful children, nor your normal daughters and sons. All your daughters and sons who love God will prophesy. Your young people will see visions. He does not say your society conforming young people, nor your party politics abiding young people, nor your gender conforming and sexually normal young people, nor your politically active right up until it makes us uncomfortable young people. He does not say your properly speaking young people, nor your fiscally responsible young people, nor your institution following young people. All your young people who love God will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. He does not say your properly patriotic elders, nor your Republican or Democrat or independent elders, nor your undoubting and perfectly Presbyterian elders. He does not say your blue collar or your white collar or your no collar elders, nor your educated or school of life educated elders, nor your perfectly average or insanely weird elders. All your elders who love God will dream dreams. All your children and your young people and elders who love God. All. Remember Peter, the uneducated fisher, the coward who had no understanding of the sacrifice Jesus needed to make and the sacrifice he, Peter, needed to make. The incompetent swordsman who only hurt the slave. The lowlife of whom a whole crowd believed stood before them, loudly and drunkenly ruining the religious festival at 9 a.m. The Peter on the rock on whom Jesus built the church. A fine, strong, wonderful rock to build a church upon. A good rock that stood as the foundation for a good church. An imperfect outsider who loved God and desired to heal, help, and provide hope for people outside the norm and outside the good folk. Restoration will not come from a return to old values and the church of the past. Restoration will not come from restricting who can speak the word of God. Restoration will not come from making the tent smaller so only certain people can fit under it. Restoration will not come from making the table smaller and more exclusive. Restoration will not come from silencing the voices of and refusing to hear the outsider, the marginalized, the different, and the minority. Restoration will come from hearing and following the voices of all the young who love God and all the elders with fierce faith and fierce desire to love creation. Will you listen to them and finally hear them? Will you encourage the voices of those the church has aggressively silenced in the past? Will you stand up and risk embarrassment, persecution, and giving up your privilege to lift up the outsider, the lowlife, the different, the exceptional, and the unjustly hated? Will you hear words that make you uncomfortable, and instead of ignoring them and waiting for next week's sermon, internalize them and allow them to change your heart? Will you hear people such as these? God gave ministry to people such as these. May we listen to them.